Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Century Plyboards India Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks conclude. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Agarwal, Head Institutional Equities at SKP Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this financial results conference call on behalf of Century Plyboards and SKP Securities. We have with us Mr. Sanjay Agarwal, MD and CEO, along with Mr. Keshav Bhajanka, Executive Director, Mrs. Nikita Bansal, Executive Director, and Mr. Arun Julasaria, Chief Financial Officer. Kindly note that during the course of this discussion, there may be certain forward-looking statements which must be viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. Keshav Bhajanka, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Keshav.
Good afternoon, friends. First and foremost, wish you a very happy Diwali. Thank you, everyone, for taking out your valuable time for attending the Q2 FY24 investor conference call for Century Plyboards India Limited. I am Keshav Bhajanka, Executive Director, and I have alongside me Mr. Sanjay Agarwal, MD and CEO, Ms. Nikita Bansal, Executive Director, and Mr. Arun Julasaria, CFO of the company. I presume that every one of you would have gone through our numbers in detail. Let me still brief you on the highlights for Q2 FY24. The financial results for the second quarter have surpassed the previous quarter, both in terms of revenue and profit, despite a very challenging market situation and an upward trend in prices for key raw materials. Going forward, we expect to continue to upscale our revenue and profit growth. On YoY basis, the top line increased to 987.9 crores rupees against 900.2 crores. Blended EBITDA margins stood at 15.1% against 13.7%, and profit after tax was 90.33 crores against 76.22 crores last year. Despite difficult market situation, plywood has done well with improvements in top line as well as EBITDA margins. On YoY basis, the top line improved from rupees 487 crores to rupees 541 crores, and EBITDA margins improved from 4.3% to 13.5%. We continue to maintain our previous guidelines of overall 10% revenue growth and sustained EBITDA margins of 13%-14% for the second half of the year. In laminate, for addressing the need of the high-end market, we have partnered with celebrity designer Manish Malhotra and have launched a new range designed by him. For the economy market, we have introduced Scenic Laminate, buoyed by the huge success that we have received in Scenic Plywood. In the current quarter, we had revenue growth of almost 10% over the previous quarter. EBITDA margins also slightly improved to 11.7%. With the introduction of the new ranges for targeting specific market segments, the overall performance of the laminate division will improve in the coming quarter. We expect to maintain quarter-on-quarter double-digit growth and improve EBITDA margins. Correction, year-on-year double-digit growth and improve EBITDA margins. On YoY basis, MDF revenue improved from 156 crores to 196 crores, and EBITDA margins are increased from 25.2% to 26.5%. The EBITDA margins for the current quarter included 7.5 crores on account of arrears for electricity subsidy. After taking out the effect of this 7.5 crores, EBITDA margins were 23%. Our second line at Hoshiarpur is now stabilized. With the aforesaid planning, we revised our growth target to 25% for the second half of the year. With increased share of premium products, margins are likely to remain stable or continue in line with our guidance of 25%. Particle board is suffering both on revenue and profitability. On YoY basis, revenue is down from rupees 47 crores to rupees 38 crores, and EBITDA from 28.5% to 22.6%. We are trying to combat erosion in profitability caused by increasing raw material prices. On quarter-on-quarter basis, while revenue slightly decreased from rupees 39 crores to rupees 38 crores, EBITDA margins are flattish. We expect to maintain revenue and margins in coming quarters along the lines of what we achieved in Q2. The scheme of hiving off of logistics division to our SPV is approved by NCLT, and certified copy of orders awaited on filing a certified copy of order with the registrar of companies, the scheme will be retrospectively effective from appointment date 1st April 2022. The ongoing project of MDF and laminate at Andhra Pradesh will commence operations within the current financial year. With these remarks, I will open up to all the questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Abhishek from DSP. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions in terms of the plywood part of it. While you have seen decent volume growth, if you can help us understand, is it because of better demand or is it market share gain? And also if you can touch upon the trend in the underlying timber prices. Thanks.
Yeah. Hi. So actually with respect to, if you saw Q1, I think the growth was muted because the market was muted. So there was definitely recovery of market in Q2, as well as our strategy. We immediately made some corrections in June, etc., everything, where we were facing some degrowth in certain branches, or we weren't growing as per our expectation in certain products. So even the strategy that helped us recover, and that is why we are at the 11% growth YTD. So I think it's both demand as well as some level of market share. But like we said in previous calls, it's very difficult for me to say or quantify the market share gain, etc., because data in plywood industry is almost difficult to capture. So, and as far the timber prices go, so Q2 saw a major rise in timber. Because of that, we even started importing coal. In fact, our long-term plan is that we will probably import 50% of our coal requirement from other countries like Brazil, etc. But we were able to do it quickly, and that has also helped us actually ensure that the rate of coal does not increase massively. And in Q3, coal rates have started falling in India. So I think that is where the timber prices lie today.
So, Nikita, just on the timber prices, 3Q would have seen something like a 3 to 5% correction. Would that be a fair estimate, or is the quantum higher already in 3Q?
In Q2, did you say Q2 or Q3? I missed that.
Q3. You mentioned Q2 was increased, but you substituted it by import. But 3Q, I thought you mentioned that you have seen already some price decline. So I just wanted to understand.
So it's been about 5 paisa in terms of percentage, 5 paisa on almost 2 rupees in 2-3%. Yeah.
Okay, that's helpful. Just coming on to the MDF part of it, if you can just help us understand in terms of you've increased your overall top line volume growth guidance to about 25%, just in terms of how is Hoshiarpur shaping up overall demand supply economics and the margin deterioration X of the electricity charges that we have seen. How should we look at it given that timber prices are beginning to kind of correct? Thanks.
So basically, as we had stated earlier, that, you know, we will ramp up capacity utilization relatively faster. And we have received a very good response from the market from our second line. Earlier, as you were very well aware, that we were facing a demand overrun and we had a supply shortage. So now that has been addressed and we are slowly being able to gain our market share. Now, I think that going forward, even without the electricity subsidy, we will be able to maintain margins closer to the tune of 25% with operating leverage. However, having said that, raw material price increases remain a concern, although they have flashed for over the course of the current quarter.
Okay. But like how you're seeing in case of plywood some correction, what about MDF? Is something that also on cards over the next second half, or how should we look at it for the MDF part of the business?
There is no meaningful correction, but we are hopeful that it has plateaued out.
Okay. Okay. And just one last thing on the MDF part, given the overall newer supply that we are seeing being put up by our peers, how is the competitive landscape in terms of the underlying price scenario as far as MDF is concerned? Thanks.
I think, you know, the competitive landscape has been intense and will continue to remain intense with the new capacities coming in. However, I think we are well placed by virtue of our brand, by virtue of our efficiency in terms of both production and sales. So I think that going forward, we shall be able to scale up faster than the industry, and we are eagerly looking forward to our Andhra plant commencing operations over the course of the next quarter. We should get the benefit of the same over the course of the next financial year.
Okay, got that. Thank you so much for answering my questions. And wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rishikesh Bhagat from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. If you can help me understand this increase in inventory, it pertains to which segment and when should we expect normalization? Your fair bit of cash generation is impacted because of this inventory increase.
Hi, Rishi.
Hi.
If you look at it, the raw material inventory has actually come down from Q1 to Q2. And finished goods inventory has come down as well. So what part of inventory are you referring to?
I'm referring to cash statement, cash flow. So there's an increase in inventory that is getting reflected in cash flow statement.
That will be relative to the total turnover, right? Because our turnover has also increased compared to last quarter. So if you look at inventory days, we have actually reduced inventory days.
Okay. And the second question is on particle board new capex. Now, one of your peers, rather new entrant, Greenlam, has recently increased the capex for this particle board from 600 odd crore to 770. Their capacity is more or less at the same level, 235,000 to 240,000 CBM. And in our presentation, we have maintained that. So we are fairly confident that we will be able to execute at 550 odd crore capex, this entire particle board capacity.
I think that, you know, it will be unfair of me to comment on competition. But if you look at the way that, you know, commodity prices that are very relevant for any new capex in our industry, concerning steel and others, the peak hopefully is behind us. And, you know, we have faced an increase in the capex for Andhra projects because of the timing of the project, so to speak. So I am hopeful that, yes, we will be in line with our guidance. We see no shocks as of now.
Sure. Yeah,
I'll be very happy to know.
About you only. I'm more concerned about your project.
Of course. But I wanted you to also know that the Chennai project is proceeding very well, and we will hopefully begin sooner than expected.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from Incred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Keshav, first question was on MDF and particle board both actually for South India plants. You know, given this raw material problem and availability and pricing, you know, for large capacities which we are setting it up, could you just give us some sense on how have you tied up on raw material sourcing and pricing? Let's say for 12 months or 24 months, what an outlook you can share, please.
Sure. Firstly, hi. I think that, you know, if you look at raw material in India, it is not really very possible at this point in time to go for your own plantation. But what we are doing is we are rapidly promoting plantation in the districts adjoining to our plants. So if you look at Kadapa district, we have already started distribution of saplings. And going forward, we are educating farmers. Due to the higher raw material prices, agroforestry actually becomes a much more viable alternate. You can imagine that earlier, when the price of timber was 2.5 rupees in Punjab when we were starting, and today the price of timber shot to 6 rupees plus, the remuneration for the farmers has drastically changed. So I think that the supply is going to catch up with the lag. in the short term there will be challenges, but like I stated a number of times earlier, we are the most efficient executor, whether it be production or sales, in this industry, so that bodes well for us.
So should I assume that once these plans start, let's say around fourth quarter of this year, 12 months from there, the availability of raw material should suffice and we should not face any supply problem? Is that taken care of?
Yes, I think it is more a question of price than availability, because the demand is the supply is ramping up very fast. You will see that in the short term there will be spike. But that spike is required. We need to promote agroforestry. And the best way, because no matter how much you subsidize, no matter what rate you give saplings for, even if companies start giving more fertilizer, the end result has to be a sale where the farmer makes a lucrative income. So at the current raw material prices, agroforestry is increasing, which is a very positive step for the long term. And we are hoping that, yes, it stays, it does not increase too much, but I'm hoping that timber prices don't reduce much further also.
Right. Second question was again on MDF, the subsidy on electricity. Is this a recurring thing? How does this really work for the plant?
Yes, it is a recurring thing, but now we will get it in bill. What we have gotten till now has been the arrears since the plant started till now. So that is a one-time payment, but now this amount will come to us in bill. So it will not come as an exceptional item. It is going to reflect in the form of a lower power rate on the back.
Get it. So annually this number should be like, does it really distort the EBITDA margin what you report, or
it's a 6 year, accumulated subsidy. So annually it is not going to be so meaningful. You can calculate 7.5 by 6. So it's about a crore and a half a year. So it is not going to be too meaningful. Yes, the quantum will increase a little bit, our production going up, but it's not going to be disproportionate. It's not going to be like it will become 3-4 crores a year or something.
Got it. Then should be a fine. And just one small question to Arunji on other expenses. The quarter number looks like 200 crores. But does it include any one-time expenses here?
Basically, increase is on account of spending with advertisement. Now we are on movie theaters also. So we are spending there also. Apart from this, in this quarter, we settled a contingent liability. In fact, there was a case going on in West Bengal government for entry tax which was imposed in pre-GST era. So our total liability on that account was 14 point some crore. And after adding interest and penalty to that, it would have gone around 30-35 crore. So West Bengal government came out with an amnesty scheme whereby they offered a very lucrative scheme that forget the interest, forget the penalty, just pay 50% of original demand and settle it. So we paid around 7.5 crore on that account. So that is included in this expenditure. So mainly on account of this one-time effect, thus increased spending on the current revenue.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you so much and wish you all a very happy Diwali.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participant, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Nuama. Please proceed.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on strong set of numbers. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, what has changed between Q1 to Q2? The reason I'm asking is Q1, you decided to downgrade the guidance for MDF division to around 20% and this quarter with stability coming back. And of course, that we have seen strong quarter, with respect to demand and volumes, you again decided to upgrade the MDF guidance. So what has changed between Q2 and Q1?
Yeah, we are a conservative company, as you are well aware, and we believe that we should give bad news at the earliest. However, this time, we believe that we will be able to definitely overachieve this 25%, hence the revision in guidance. Nothing has changed very meaningfully, but to be honest, we were fairly confident that our ramp-up would take place. Q1, we felt a slight hiccup, hence we had revised the guidance. Now we realize that that was actually just a one-off, one-quarter exercise. So we believe that for the second half of the year, 25% is realistically possible, and hence we have upgraded to this.
So second half, 25% growth in both the quarters is easily possible, is what you are guiding for.
I won't say easily, but yes, it's possible.
Understood. Secondly, what wanted to understand, even in the plywood division, you're seeing 10% sort of volume growth. Was that expected, or were we, you know, expecting to see, you know, it, because I was reading my audio notes and we were anticipating most of the demand to come in post, you know, the valley. And surprisingly, it's 10% growth now. So was this expected, or has it, you know, come meaningfully early?
We are targeting 10% revenue growth, it's not volume growth. I would request Nikita to please clarify.
So the thing is, if you see that Q1 was a little muted, so that was unexpected for us. We had to recover that. Definitely, we didn't know how markets will behave. If we really see last quarter, we actually reduced our overall revenue growth expectation from plywood, and that was because of the muted Q1. But Q2, the recovery was good, and because of which, if you see historically, I mean, this is pre-COVID time. If you really go back to pre-COVID times, Q2 has always been a strong quarter. It's only during this COVID year is where, you know, things changed a little bit, and you had different quarters really becoming better than even Q2. But historically, Q2 has always been a very strong quarter, and then Q4 is definitely one of our best quarters that we will end the year. I hope I've answered your question.
Understood. Exactly on your, you know, other expenses where you've seen ad spend have increased, how much was the ad spend this particular quarter as a percentage of sales versus last year, same quarter and last quarter? And also, was there any one-off in the laminates division as well, like with related to marketing expenses, which you've done additionally this quarter?
I think, you know, we have invested in marketing sustainably over quite some time now. I don't have the exact figures with me, but I'd request CFO to get back to you. And in laminates, no, there is no major one-off, but we have increased our ad spend in line with the launches that we have done.
That's right. And ad spend for the quarter, percentage terms?
I would request the CFO to get back to you on that with the details offline.
Sure. Got it. Thanks. Thanks, Keshav, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participant, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from Incred Capital. Please proceed.
Oh, thanks so much for the follow-up. One question, Keshav, was on the container freight business. So where are we in terms of divestment? I understand the demerger approvals. The EBITDA number for the quarter also looks distorted at 1 crore. Could you explain that as well as, you know, the direction in terms of how we should think about the divestment and getting the balance sheet delevered, please?
I think, you know, it is a one-off earlier for rental that we have paid. I request CFO to explain that later. But as far as investment is concerned, you know, our objective will always be to maximize value for our shareholders. So at this point in time, considering current performance of the division, we are not going to get a pound of flesh if we go for divestment. We are waiting to start with the port operations, which, as you know, is going to add tremendous value, both in terms of top line and bottom line to the segment. And then once we get a correct pricing for the division, a correct value for the division, then we look at investment. So it is taking slightly longer than expected to get the capacity operational. But once that happens, I'm sure that we'll be looking at a lucrative payoff from the division. I request CFO to please explain the one-time revenue accrued payment, the rent accrued payment.
In fact, in this quarter, almost 3 crore was paid in lease, and they said sometimes 4 to increase rent retrospectively also.
So, sir, I'm sorry, but I'm not able to hear you clearly. Could you pardon me, please?
Can you hear now? Hello?
Yes, it is better, a bit better.
In fact, in this quarter, we have paid rupees 3 crore around additional freight from Calcutta Port Authority, which relates to earlier years. Court have revived the rent of the land they have given to us retrospectively, and we had to pay it.
Okay. Okay, I get it. Second question was on laminate realizations. I think there is some decline quarter-on-quarter basis. What could be a reason for that?
The reason is that in our premium product segment, we have been unable to grow. And we have at the same time increased sales of the lower segment. So we are trying to arrest this as early as H2 itself with the new catalog launch and with the launch of Scenic Laminate. As you know, Scenic Laminate has a far higher price point, 0.8 mm. And low category, we should be able to post a higher realization in the current quarter and beyond.
Got it. So it should basically recover back in second half, right?
It will recover. Whether it recovers back to last year levels or not, it could take a little longer.
Got it. Should we worry about the same thing for plywood? Because even Scenic Plywood, I hear, obviously everybody knows it's done very well. But I also hear Club Prime sales, you know, there's a severe amount of down trading there. And that sales for Century, you know, few dealers also tell me that they're down like 15-20%. Any truth to that, and should we also worry about plywood margins? I know you've guided for second half, so I take that kind of...
I would request Nikita to take this over. I think the noise is around, you know, the rest of the industry reducing in terms of realization. But I'm very happy to mention that year on year and quarter on quarter, our organizations are actually up. But I would just request
Nikita
to take this case.
So, see, in the past, we've always said that the growth in Scenic will be far higher than the growth in the premium segment. Having said that, our endeavor is always to grow. I don't think, I'm sure you might be hearing this from other companies or thing, but we are not, there is no degrowth. There is growth, but growth is definitely not as high as when you compare it to Scenic. So at the end, my job is to ensure that our average realization keeps increasing and our EBITDA is maintained. And I think that is what we've been delivering quarter on quarter. So I do not see that as a problem even in the future.
In fact, if you look at it from FY 2021 onwards, in plywood, our realization has steadily gone up year after year. Today, it stands at about 53,900 and it was 47,000 in 2020-21.
Got it. Thank you so much and best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Keshav Vijayan Ratan Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on decent performance. Just want to know whether you want to change anything on the guidance side of volume growth and EBITDA margin, especially on the laminate segment.
In the second half of the year, the objective in the laminate segment will be to achieve double-digit plus growth. And we are going to try to hit our guidance of 13-15%. So currently, that is the visibility that we have. For the rest of the divisions, I think we have already given our guidance, both in terms of revenue and in terms of EBITDA. If you would like me to recap the same, I can.
Okay. So, laminate, your first half margin is something like 10%. So, you plan to end the year by 13-15% margin as well as guidance?
No. I plan to do 13-15% margin in H2.
Okay. You are talking about H2.
Yes.
So why haven't we seen the recovery in laminate segment margin yet? Like it's still like 11%. So, and how is the
company have launched?
Have you seen any meaningful sale in laminate sale?
Your voice is a little unclear. Could you just repeat the last part again?
Just want to get a sense about the Scenic laminate sale. So has meaningful sales happening on that side? And why is your margin still, you know, a bit subpar in this quarter also, like 11%? We do understand Q1 was like a one-off quarter, but still margin has not picked up in Q2.
So I think, you know, our launches, because we have launched our new catalog, whereas we have launched these notes, our Scenic Laminate, like we have mentioned, was launched very recently. So these take some time to stabilize. due to that, our margin will be affected. Last quarter also it was affected, and even during current quarter, our guidance is 13 to 15%. Now, once we scale up, once the new catalog is fully accepted, once we see that spike in sales, and once we look at better contribution from Scenic as well, because right now Scenic range has been launched only in the West and North predominantly, and maybe one part of the South. So we haven't rolled it out nationally. We are going conservative with it because we don't want it to impact our higher-end country landing. So because of these two, I think as we scale up across the new 1mm catalog and in Scenic, you will see margin recovery being better. Alongside the same, next year, once we have the benefit of our under-capacity, exports should also scale up rapidly. So medium term, I'm very bullish that margins and turnover is going to go up steeply. But yes, short term, there have been challenges. And next two quarters, we'll see recovery, but not in the pace at which we had thought it could be.
Understood. Got it. I just want to understand one thing. Your particle board capacity, which has increased in the last two quarters, so how will the return issues look in particle board, and what is your assessment of particle board industry size, and how much is the import in this industry?
Your voice is very unclear. Could you please just come closer to the microphone or something, because there's a lot of static. I can't hear you properly.
Hello. Is it better now?
Yes, slightly better.
Yeah. So I just want to understand, you know, the particle board capex has increased for you, not this, but initially in the last two quarters. So how will the return ratios look in this segment, and what is the revenue potential of this segment? And in your assessment, what is the industry size and how much is the import in this industry? Because it's a very, you know, capex heavy business.
Okay. So I think that in particle board, we should be able to do 1:1 in terms of asset turnover ratio based on the current realizations that we have. In any of our new investments, our objective is always to deliver 20% plus ROC, and the particle board plant is no different. In the new capacity as well, we will definitely attempt to deliver 20% plus ROC.
Okay. So what's the industry size and import in the industry?
I think CFO can connect with you and give you those details offline. I don't have the data on me.
Okay, got it. One last question from my side. What was the capacity utilization of Sharpur plant in this quarter and the exit rate?
You see, we are at 25,000 plus in terms of 25,000 cubic meters in terms of total capacity. So I think we would be close to 70% utilization as of the previous quarter. And going forward, our objective is to hit 80% plus over the course of each two.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Agrawal from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So if you could help me with the volume, value and margin guidance for FY24 and 25, I think I missed it.
24-25, we haven't given guidance yet. But okay. Our objective has been to maintain margin alongside 13 to 15% for plywood and for laminate, and 20% for particle board, 25% for MDF. Our overall objective will always be to attempt to hit a 20% run rate of growth for the company.
All right. So this was for FY25, right?
Yes.
For FY24.
I have already given the guidance for 24. Would you like me to?
Yes, I'm in that. Yes.
Okay. So for H2. Our guidance is that we will be doing the H1 numbers already with you. H2, we will be looking at doing a 13 to 15% EBITDA in plywood with a double-digit growth. In laminates, we will be looking at a double-digit growth and moving back towards the 13 to 15% EBITDA. In MDF, we will be attempting to maintain 25% plus EBITDA with a 25% growth. And in particle board, results are likely to be similar to the previous quarter, where we have had 20% plus in terms of EBITDA, and where volumes have been around 18,000 for the quarter.
All And sir, is there any revision in the CapEx CapEx plans or anything? You had a laminate plant which is supposed to come up in Q3 in Andhra, I believe. So is that on track or is there any?
Yes, as I've already mentioned, we are hopeful that laminate will come into production within this quarter itself, and the MDF capacity in Andhra will commence production from next quarter.
All right. And so lastly, on the BIS norms which are kicking in for MDF imports, for MDF as a whole, so do we see anything major on this front? Like, will it have some major impact on imports, or will it be negligible?
I think in any form of professionalization of the industry, whether in terms of BIS or earlier whether GST was being introduced, is always going to be beneficial for players such as ourselves. So while the proof of the pudding is in the eating, I'm hopeful, yes, definitely, it will help domestic manufacturers.
All right. Got it. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Bhavin Rupani from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is related to laminates. Sir, how should one understand the pricing and margins of Spanish laminates versus our existing blended pricing and margins?
The pricing of Spanish laminates is higher than existing blended pricing. And the margin for Spanish laminate, you see, any new product when it is introduced takes time to scale up. Once Spanish laminate scales up, I think the EBITDA margins should be along the lines of slightly better than our overall EBITDA margins.
Okay. And sir, how do you intend to grow this? I mean, what percentage of sales it could be 1 or 2 years down the line?
You see, our objective will always be to grow both Century Laminates and Scenic Laminates at double digits. Having said that, I think that for Scenic Laminates, it is reasonable to understand that we would be at least 40% in terms of the volume of Century Laminates over the course of the next 2 to 3 years.
So did I hear it correct? You said 40% in the next 2 to 3 years?
40% of the sales volume of Century Laminates 1 mm, yes.
Correct. Also, sir, if you could specify a similar thing for the laminates designed by Manish Malhotra, what will be the pricing and margins over there?
Manish Malhotra, the objective is to elevate the brand. The pricing is substantially higher, but as you know, we do not normally give out any volume guidelines for product category.
Correct. Okay. And so next question is related to MDF. Your MDF margins for CBM has declined 6% after adjusting for the one-offs. 6% year-on-year is what I'm telling. However, when we look at the margins of competitors, it has declined quite sharply. Could it be due to better pricing in North India and possible raw material cost differential in North versus South India?
Unfortunately, I don't comment on competitor activity. But like I said, our objective will be to maintain 25% of EBITDA margins at a 25% growth.
Okay. So is it possible for you to specify what is the pricing differential in North India and South India, both the realization and the raw material cost pricing?
The raw material cost pricing in South India would be anywhere between 4 to 4.5 rupees. Per kg, whereas in North India it is 6.5 rupees plus. And the realization in South India would also be lower than North India, but I don't have exact numbers on me right now. I would request the CFO to share the numbers or provide it offline. The CFO has indicated he'll provide it to you offline.
All right. And so last question is the existing CapEx that we are doing, do we have any state incentives or central incentives for any of our projects?
Yes, we do.
Can you quantify, sir?
State incentives for the Andhra Pradesh project, where we have electricity subsidy, where we have a transportation subsidy, although it is limited, and where we have received land and preferential cost.
Is it possible to quantify, sir?
I think CFO can again share the details with you. I don't have it with me offhand.
All right. That's helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Purohit from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to understand about your carpentry loyalty program. How many additions of carpenters you would have done and how does it work? I mean, last FY23, what would be the addition and first half? If you could tell me what is the base.
Due to competitive reasons, we don't share this data, unfortunately. You know, it is a trade secret and it is a big asset that we have, so we don't share any data on this program. But what I can tell you is it is growing from 10%.
10%, okay. And would you be able to share at least?
No. Strength to strength. I cannot share percentages, unfortunately, but it is growing from strength to strength.
Sorry. So, just wanted to know what would be the spend on loyalty, say, probably last year, and what would be in first half, if that possible to share?
Again, we don't share any data on this, and you understand why. But having said that, you know, despite this, our margin profile continues to remain robust, and the guidance remains unchanged.
Okay. And second question on just laminates. So, if I look at last 5 years, our capacity expansion in laminates has been lower than when I compare it with the any other segments that we have. And now we endeavor to actually get into this, launching the Scenic laminates and also drive the premium segment as well. So any capacity plans would be there or would you look to stabilize first on the margin side and then plan a capacity?
We have already announced a substantial capex in the form of the new unit in Andhra Pradesh. So the first is to execute that and utilize that capacity. And post that, we will plan for the capex. But for the time being, our focus is only on the Andhra capacity as far as the laminate division is concerned.
Okay. Okay, and this, from a switch, is there, I'm sorry, new to this, but I just wanted to understand, when you look at laminate as a category, I understand there is a lot of inners which is significant in terms of volumes. So, when you launch a Scenic brand, there would be a shift in product mix, right, still for you. That's why you're saying that Scenic will be premium than our average right now. For you.
You see, export realization for us is lower because we are right now not in the larger sizes. Once we get into the larger sizes, then export realizations will also start to go up. And at the same time, we do have a component of 0.8 mm. So because of that, 1 mm realizations will always be higher than our average realizations. Since we are only in the 1 mm category in Scenic, I am writing that once Scenic volumes start coming up, it will push up the realization and not get lower.
Okay, thanks. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Agarwal from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So is it possible for you to quantify the impact of the BIS norms that are coming in?
Your guess is as good as mine, but all I can say is that, you know, it will be beneficial because again, once bitten, twice shy, when GST was there, we were all very confident and we thought it would change the way the industry functions, etc., etc. And while it did help, the impact was nowhere close to what we had expected. So I think it was better to go in with muted expectations and see a better result.
All right. And I was tracking from the data that we get for imports. So your Q2 imports had, if I'm not wrong, it has fallen down by 1% quarter on quarter, but for India as a whole, exports have increased by 7%. So, was there any issue in the exports, or were you focusing on the domestic markets more?
Sorry, could you repeat that one?
Your exports in quarter two, they had fallen down by about 1% in quarter 1% quarter on quarter, according to the data that we track. But India exports were up by about 7%. So was there any issue in the exports or was it just a quarter where you were focusing more on the domestic market?
To the best of my knowledge, there has been no reduction. So I think, I don't know what data you have, but no, we have not seen any reduction in exports.
Alright, like India's exports grew by about 7% quarter on quarter. So what was your quarter on quarter growth?
We don't share domestic versus export data.
Alright. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have our next follow-up question from the line of Keshav Vijayaratan Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please proceed.
Hi. Thank you for the follow-up. So the ply-fry CapEx seems to be a bit slow. Whether the Hoshiarpur ply commissioning might get pushed to quarter two instead of Q1?
Yeah, so actually we are taking that plant a little bit slow because in Q1 we had a little bit of a muted growth. Because of that, we were taking the plant a little bit slow. So currently I see maybe it shifts to Q2, but we are on track. We are procuring machines, etc., everything. Plywood plant is much easier and faster to commission. So as of now, I will stick to Q1, but if anything changes, I'll update in the next quarter.
Understood. So one thing we always say, you know, timber supply is going to increase, which will possibly...
Somehow you're not clear at all. I'm unable to understand your question.
Is it better now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So one thing we always say, you know, timber supply is going to increase in upcoming quarters. So which will lead to, you know, stable timber prices or possibly the timber price might cool off. So any sense, you know, what sort of increase in timber supply will happen? Like what sort of plantation are happening to better sense?
You know, this is very unorganized data. It's very difficult to ascertain. I mean, there is a Forest Service of India report that you can go through, which will give you some light on it. But the reason that we say that supply will increase is because it is intuitive, isn't it? If the price of timber is going up, the incentive to the farmer for going to agroforestry increases. Today, when the prices were 2.5 rupees, then the incentive to the farmer for agroforestry was highly muted. So even though it is a far easier crop to grow than a rice or a wheat or some other cash crop, still the farmer was disincentivized to move towards agroforestry. Today, when the prices in the north have shot up to 6.5 rupees, so we are talking about a 160% increase in the price. So because of the same, there is huge incentive, and the quantum of plantation that has taken place, when I go to the plant in Andhra Pradesh, when I go to the plant in Hoshiarpur, the quantum of new plantation taking place is truly heartening. Hence, we say that the supply of timber is likely to go up, and this is the same trend that has been observed in China, in other developed countries as well. So this is what gives us confidence that agroforestry is here to stay and will only grow with time to come.
Understood. But will it be, I know it's very, you know, difficult, but to give any sense of ballpark number, a broader range, what sort of plantation increase could that be?
If the agribable land of India, if 5% of that is converted to agroforestry, then the supply of timber will double. So that is the sort of math. If the total arable land of India, 5% of the total area that is currently being used up by cash crops, as per the ministry, if that is converted to agroforestry, we can then double the quantum of agroforestry in India. I hope that gives you a sense of the potential height.
Got it. Understood. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shubham Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, great. So just one question here on the plywood segment. We saw the gross margins expand QOQ, good growth as well in the segment. However, the EBITDA margin for the segment contracted. So about 100 basis points QOQ expansion in gross margin and 15 basis points QOQ contraction in the EBITDA margin. Just wanted to get a sense of what led to this contraction in EBITDA despite the growth.
Can you repeat it actually because your voice is really mumbled?
Okay, hold on. I'll repeat the same. I think this should be better.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I was just saying the gross margin for the plywood segment has expanded QOQ by about 100 bits. However, the EBITDA margin for the plywood segment has contracted QOQ by about 15 bits. I just wanted to get a sense, you know, and this a similar trend is also being seen in a year-on-year scenario. I just wanted to get a sense what has led to this disparity. The gross margin has increased, the growth is good, I mean the revenue growth is good, still the EBITDA margins have come down.
Basically, you know, like we have guided earlier as well, we are very, very bullish on the medium to long term. We have already seen that peers in the building material industry, which come earlier, for instance, pipes and other products that go in an earlier stage when the building is being constructed or house is being constructed, they have been doing very well. And new launches have shown a significant uptick. Going forward, we are very bullish that the cycle for our products is going to be fairly robust. So we have continued to advertise and we have continued to invest in marketing. And I think that this slightly higher than expected marketing income or this slightly elevated marketing income perhaps justifies to a large extent the delta that you are referring to.
Okay. So Keshav, would you be able to give a sense that this is majorly, like what are you focusing on? TV advertising
cinema
or
and TV.
Generally in the form of discounts or retail activities at the ground?
Cinema and TV are our two predominant medium, and alongside that, we have also ramped up our digital spend. Nikita, would you like to, or I think that the quantum of Nikita
mentioned. We don't give out exact value of how much we spend. But this is the first year that we are spending substantial amount in digital brand awareness and campaign awareness, which we've not done in the past. We've always used digital as a lead campaign. So this year, there has been an increase in overall online spend and cinema, which we didn't do in the previous year.
Okay, so all I was actually indirectly asking was this is not because of higher R&Rs for our dealers and distributors to pick up material from us. That's what I was trying to.
No.
Okay, that's all from me. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Bhavin Rupani from Investec. Please proceed.
Hey, so thanks for the follow-up. I just want two clarifications. First is on plywood. Have you taken any price hikes during Q1 and Q2, and are there any plans to increase in Q3?
So we took one price rise in July. Post that, raw material prices really increased, so we were forced to take a price increase then. Post that, the market scenario is not such that we will be able to absorb any more price increases currently. And given that the raw material prices are coming down, I don't think currently we are in a need for a price rise in the near future.
Is it possible to quantify the price hike, Angela?
I think it was 2%, if I'm not wrong, in July. Different products have different things. It could be 3% in one and 2% in something. So average, it is roughly 2.5%.
All right. And just one more clarification. The guidance that you just provided, it was for second half, right, sir?
Yes, the guidance that I had provided was for second half.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the last question for the afternoon from the line of Ritesh Shah, an individual investor. Please proceed. Mr. Ritesh, your line is unmuted. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. This is Ritesh. I'm calling from Investor Capital, not individual investor. I had a couple of questions on laminates. you have indicated a new range of targeting specific new market segments. This is the text which is there on the slide. Keshav, can you please elaborate this a little more? Are we looking at a particular sizes which were absent in the product basket, or is it the new design? So that's the first question.
So the first thing that I'd like to clarify is, you know, we were present in only the premium segment with entry laminates. What we need to say is that there is a further value added segment, which is higher price decorative laminates. And to this end, we are tied up with Mr. Manish Malhotra and we have launched a range. At the same time, in the economy range of the 1mm category, we were absent. So that is where we are targeting through Scenic laminates. Alongside the above, with the launch of the larger sizes, that opens us to the opportunity of exporting to geographies in Europe and other geographies where we are not present yet due to lack of the larger sizes. So this is what I mean by new range.
Perfect. And what were the sizes which were launched, which we now have?
The sizes that we are going to launch with the new presses being commissioned this quarter will be 14x6 and 10x4/4.
Okay, this is helpful. And second related question to laminates is, how are we looking at the distribution specifically for the premium laminates, what you just mentioned? Will the distribution be a different? How should we look at that?
No, the distribution is going to ride on the same network that we have created over years. And the advantage that we have is a presence in over 20,000 retail points across India. So we are piggybacking on the same for even the premium range.
Sure, that's helpful. And lastly, on MDF, what would your thoughts be on the competitive intensity in the marketplace? Demand is good, but there is incremental local supply, and imports at times also create a havoc. We have seen larger listed players actually pushing material to the export market just to ensure that the utilization levels are fine and they maintain a fine balance. So it's a bit precarious. Would you be worried about this? How would you look at this particular scenario?
Again, you know, I do not normally comment on competition. So what I can say is that our ability to scale up and our ability to utilize our capacities has been better than the industry in general. And the guidance that I have given on the call, we are fairly confident of achieving the same.
Sure. This is quite helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question in the queue. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Keshav Bajanka for the closing comments.
Thank you everyone for attending our call and wish you all a very happy Diwali.
Thank you very much. On behalf of SKP Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.